Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along.
And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 252. It is the week of the week after Thanksgiving, so I guess that would be the week of the of November 27th. Trying to scramble a little bit to get another episode out this month, but I wanted to get another one out. This podcast is about me and people that I run with. I'm an ordinary middle-of-the-pack nobody who generally nobody even knows if I show up to races except for the people that are next to me. But I do have a lot of fun doing distance running and have a lot of fun producing the podcast and interacting with other people. For this episode, I kind of got back to my roots a little bit where I used to do a lot of episodes with running clips. And I've done some of that in this show for episode 252. After that, I'll have the email bag section of the show. I heard from some of the regular listeners, which I always appreciate listening. Hearing from at ashlanddave@gmail.com. That's ashlanddave@gmail.com. And there's a little bit of a problem with some of these audio clips is that it was really windy when I was out running, so some of the quality kind of drops. But if you just increase the volume on your device, if you're able to, you'll get the gist of it. I've had some really good, had two good back-to-back training weeks. 35 miles last week, which is what some of these running clips are from. And then, or actually week before, and then 40 miles last week. Had a real good weekend, did 3 5s during the week, 15 and 10 on the weekend. That should add up to 40. Yeah, it does. And so I'm going to do a fallback week this week, and then I'll increase again next week with the goal of peaking at 50 to 52 to 53 miles. I'm trying to do two 50-plus mile weeks in the month of early January. Before the race, which is February 3rd. That is the Light to Light 50-mile ultra marathon. All right, so sorry about the quality, but here goes.
All right, it's about 5 in the morning, or 5:10 a.m. I'm on Sunday. I'm in the car headed up to meet. Well, I'm not meeting anybody till 6:15, but and I'm not getting out of my driveway right here. So my goal is to do 10 miles today, 5 by myself, and then 5 with Ash and Brian. We're meeting at 6:15, and I'm going to do 5, hopefully before I meet him. That gives me over an hour to do that, so I've got a few minutes to get up to our meeting place. We meet up at a place called, we call 420. And what that means is there's a mural. I just noticed my mailbox door is open, so I'm going to push it shut. Of course, the wind's getting stuck. I'm having a hard time here this morning. I'm not sure why. Wet out. It's not raining, but it's wet. Anyway, so that where we meet up next to the Caboose, which is a little cafe that we go to on Saturdays after we have our long run, there's a big town mural, and it's really cool. It's a big locomotive train, and then as the train gets toward the end, there's like legal graffiti on it, which I don't agree with, but nevertheless, it's there. The art itself is very good. Well, the train is, the picture is of the train coming through the train station in Ashland, and so you can see a little sign that says Ashland, and then it has the town clock. Well, the interesting thing about the clock, and I might have gone over this in a podcast before, is that the permanent time on the clock is 4:20, which everybody knows who's a doper knows that's the international time to smoke pot. And I've been told that that has some significance to the people who sponsored the mural or who it's the mural's for. I'm not going to get into all that. I just think it's kind of ridiculous to use that time. Anyway, we decide to park there, and we call it, we just meet at 4:20, and that's what we call it. We don't say the Caboose. We don't say the, it's actually a municipal parking lot. The town owns the parking lot. We don't call it the town lot. We just call it 420. And here I am driving through downtown, and they got all the street lights are lit up like candy canes. It's pretty cool. Yeah, I know they had all the lighting being put up over the last couple days. Today is actually what they call the holiday parade. Can't call it the Christmas parade. Gotta call it the holiday parade because Thanksgiving hasn't happened yet. But my daughter's gonna be marching in it, and her school's marching band, which is they just got back from New York City after marching in the Veterans Day parade. And this will be the final marching band activity for this year. And okay, gotta make sure I pull right under the clock here at 4:20. Today's the last marching band thing, which is good. All right, so why am I up so early this morning? Well, it's because I'm trying to get 35 miles in for this week. And that's the goal. I know that's not a lot of mileage compared to others, but I've been slowly building up, and the overall goal is to get to the 50 miler on February 3rd down in the Outer Banks. And that's my goal, so that's what I want to be doing. And in order to do that, I got to get my mileage up, but I'm doing it incrementally. I haven't really done any big jumps. The goal was to try to do 15 yesterday and then 5 this morning, but I could not get myself up early enough to do that and still meet up with some. See, what I'm trying to do is I'm the one doing more mileage right now, so I got to do the tail end of my mileage when people meet me. Tom Grant, Ashland Tom, is signed up for the same 50 miler that I'm doing, but he's been unavailable for a couple weeks, so I've kind of been doing it on my own. He's gonna have to pick up his mileage here sometime soon. So I'll run before I meet with others, and that's been working pretty good so far. But I just could not get myself to do 10 yesterday. I mean 15. I can only get up and do 10, so I got to do another 10 today to make it 35 for the week, and then I will go back through my schedule and see how I'm doing with overall mileage. So I'm getting close to picking it, going a little higher. Alright, getting ready to head out. Sometimes I kind of question my sanity a little bit. I do need to tie my shoe a little tighter. It's very windy this morning. I'm in short sleeves, even though it's mid-November. It's wet, but it's not raining. But it's windy. I think I might just run up and down the railroad tracks just to stay where it's relatively light. And then I like the Christmas lights here. It's kind of neat looking. Sun doesn't come up to about 6:54. Checked on that. So I got up at 4:30. Of course, I woke up before that. Didn't even need the alarm. And all right, here we go. Got up at 4:30, and I really started questioning my sanity a little bit. Like, what on earth am I doing? And really, what is all this? What is all this for? And it's really just I'm just trying to do another 50 miler. I think I did 250 Ks last year. Last 50 miler I did was year before. I can't remember. This was Mississippi Trail 50. I think I did that last year. Yeah. That was March of last year. Because Michigan was this past spring. And so I just want to do that challenge again. That's the Light to Light 50. I've talked about. It's going to be the one down in the Outer Banks. So here I am at 5:15 in the morning. Sounds weird. Oh, it's a sprinkler. I was going to mention the reason why I got up so early on a Sunday. Well, if I had done 15 yesterday, I wouldn't have to do 10 today. So that's one reason I was... had too many beers Friday night. I just couldn't get up at 5 on Saturday morning. Got up at 6. Knocked out 5 before I met with Brian. Finished 10. So I went to bed earlier Saturday night. I could reschedule my runs a little bit. And we go to Mass at 8:30. It's only a 5-minute drive, so it doesn't require a whole lot of travel time. But got to get home, you know, gotta calm down a little bit, get something to eat, get a shower, and then go. So if I get home by 7:15 to 7:30, it gives me an hour to do all that. So to run 10 miles, I give myself 2 hours. Even though generally it doesn't take that long, obviously I'm running quicker than a 12-minute mile, but it gives myself plenty of time, so there's no rushing. And so I had to start at 5:15 to do 5 before I met Brian at 6:15 to do 5, get in the car, drive home. The 4:20 meeting place is maybe a minute and a half drive to my house. And you might say, well, why don't you just walk up there on foot? Especially a morning like today, because Brian and I live about 2 blocks apart. I'm not really sure why we are going to be driving to meeting somewhere, but that's just kind of what we do. Generally, because it's nice to drive home after we're done when we get something to eat. But this one, we won't be doing that. We'll just both be heading straight home. So when I got up at 4:30 this morning, I started kind of thinking, what am I doing? And I'm on the double runs on the weekend for pretty much here on out. I mean, I'm feeling a little tender this morning. It'll go away. And it's going to be humid. I can already feel the humidity. I'm in short sleeves. Just seemed a little crazy to be getting up so early to do all this before church. Well, I can't do it after because I teach a middle school class from 9:45 to 10:45. And then gotta go home. Guess we'll try to eat together as a family. And then my daughter's got to line up for that parade, which starts at 2. And lining up for that requires her to be taken to the high school so they can change into their uniforms, get their instruments, and then be bussed back into town to line up all way before 2 o'clock. So there was just no other time today, and I'm not going to do 10 miles on a Sunday evening before I go back to work on a Monday morning. So I guess in hindsight, when I analyze it like that, getting up at 4:30 doesn't sound so crazy. Just kind of felt that way this morning. All right, about a mile in. It is humid. I'm feeling all right. I was not able to update my iPod before I left the house because the computer appeared to still be installing updates, which I thought was taking place last night. And I said it had something like 32 minutes to go, which wasn't enough time for me to wait around. And I got a little iPod shuffle that I use. I got it off eBay or somewhere. Still works. Sometimes you have to kind of jerry-rig it a little bit to get it to be recognized by the computer, and then to delete and add. And sometimes it says it doesn't recognize it, so you got to reattach. And it always works though, but it just takes a little bit sometimes to fool with it. So I got new shoes. I had to go ahead and do that because what was happening is I wear the Ultra Olympus model, size 12. What I used to do was flip shoes back and forth. I would buy two pairs and alternate them, thinking that would help with the smell of my shoes, which gets really bad. My feet perspire so bad, and I think really the only way to cure that odor in the shoes, because I've used something called Stuffits before, which are cedar chip little inserts. That worked for a little while, but the smell and the odor and the bacteria or whatever creates all that, which is all, I think all those things combined, is so overpowering that it's gonna overtake any kind of product, I think. Well, so over the last couple of years, I bought two pairs of the same shoe, sometimes different colors, because sometimes I couldn't find two pairs of size 12 on a website, so I'd have to get one pair from somewhere, one pair from somewhere else. And I keep track of the miles in a little app on my phone, you know, no fanfare or anything. Well, I think after a couple years of doing that, I've come to the conclusion that that does not help with the foot odor or shoe odor. And when I get home, I take the inserts out, let them air out, and then the next time I run, I'd wear the next pair, thinking it would give the previously worn pair more time to air out, but it didn't really work. And the shoes had to go out to the garage finally, which is too much for the house. I mean, you could smell them in another room. It was just awful, worst of times. And I was only getting 250 miles on them before they just had to go. I really wear shoes out. And with these, I'm starting to have a little bit of knee pain, and that's when I know it's time to get new ones. So I bought one pair of the new Olympus. Same colors as I had before. I like them. They're red and black. And I wore them yesterday for 10 miles. Felt great. Got them in again today. I think I'll just stick with those. I'm not really a big shoe person. I don't discuss shoes in my podcast. And the reason for that is because I kind of stick with one thing that works for me. But if you're not familiar with the Ultra Olympus or Ultra in general, they got a really wide toe box. And the reason this works well for me is because my feet are very sensitive to friction. That's what I have learned since doing long distance running. And this allows my toes to, when they plant, they obviously spread out enough where they don't rub, but so much. I've gotten stuff here and there, you know, when you do 50 miles, you're gonna have some rub. But I don't get it in the training, so it's not something I have to deal with in training. I just deal with it on race day. I like the shoes a lot. They look funny though. They look like clown shoes. Matter of fact, if you could probably wear, if you were a clown in a parade or in a circus, you could probably wear these shoes and people would think, oh, they're just not the big red ones, but they're pretty close to that because they're zero drop, which I found I like, and then they're thick, real thick soled, lots of cushion, which helps me. So it's gotten really windy. Let's see, how far am I? Almost 3 miles in. My heart's not really in it today, this morning, so I'm hoping when I meet up with Brian, I get that lift, you know, we'll get conversation, and time goes by pretty fast when I run with him, And when I run with Tom and Rash and Bob, there's three. I moved over to the stadium at Randolph-Macon College, which is right here in Ashland. And the reason is, because I'm trying to run some without the wind. Seems like whatever direction I'm going is a headwind. And this is the football stadium. They have a very narrow track around it that is not designed to be any kind of running track for competition. It's for recreation. And it's apparently 0.23 miles is, I think, what the sign says. I'll see if I see the sign. And I think that's interesting, because if you're going to go to all this trouble to put in a rubberized track, I mean, it's a soft, it's creepy, it's a gate moving in the wind. When they redid the stadium, they actually, the football field used to be east-west, now it's north-south, and they put in bigger stadium seating. It's a real nice facility. I don't know. I don't really know why whoever designed the track just didn't make it 0.25 miles around, you know? I guess if you ran on the outside of it, it's about 5 feet wide. So I'll do a couple of loops here. Go meet Brian here in a little bit. I'm not sure if I'm going to make the five. I went through a little period where I think I walked about a half a mile, because I'm really starting to doubt what I was doing out here. All right, looks like I'm gonna make it. It's a 4.5, and it's 6:07 a.m. So, funny how I was almost resolving just to do 4, and then just go back to the car and wait for Brian. And then I started doing the math, and I thought, you know, Dave, you got up at 4:30 in the morning, and then you're going to shave a mile off. You physically can do it. It's your brain that is having the issue. So, and the wind died down some. At least it did where I'm running now. So I kind of, you know, I put my ego in check a little bit and got some confidence and just said, you know, I'm going to do it. I just hope Brian shows. The agreement was, as long as it's not raining, he would meet me. We both agreed we would run if it was not raining. And it looks like it rained some last night. All the roads are wet. And there's leaves everywhere. I've seen people doing lots of leaf blowing here lately. And today kind of would ruin all that, because there's just stuff everywhere. I thought about doing some of that late this afternoon, because the town will come around and pick them up if you put them out in the street, in the curb area. You gotta start on that at some point. All right, coming up on 5. It's actually mornings like this that remind me how you have to earn every mile in training. You have to earn every mile on race day. There's no cheating. There's no way to get around it. There's no way to get around the wind. Sometimes, I guess that's what makes running so pure. One of the reasons I do like it, when I get in a groove. Took me a little bit to get in a little bit of a groove today. I kept kind of sliding out of it. But that happens. Not every day is going to be, you know, top of your game day. And on a whole side note, I'm hoping that this ultra training cycle, even though I'm, you know, mid to back of the packer, I cut a little bit of weight. I'm usually in the gym 2 days a week, and they have a scale, and I have been checking my weight. And when I weighed myself last Wednesday, I was 211. And I was up to 216 at one point. My goal is 200 by race day. That's realistic. And the sad thing is I just bought 3 new pairs of jeans, which will probably be too loose if I lose that much weight. But I'm kind of hoping I lose it, you know, around my waist. That's really where I need to lose it. All right. Almost at 5. We'll see if Brian is there when I pull in the lot. One of the listeners to the show once told me that she plans her runs at daybreak towards the sunrise, which is east from here, or a little bit southeast based on the way the streets are. There he is. He's here. So I think I'll see if he wants to run out that way. And Brian is here. 5 more to go. Halfway done.
Yeah, got those miles in. A little bit of self-doubt there. But then made a comeback. Got the miles in, which is sometimes just matter, at least for my training, sometimes just a matter of getting the miles. I've found that the more mileage I do, the better I do on race day, as long as my biorhythms are up. So let's get to the email bag section of the show. I've always enjoyed reading emails from listeners at ashlanddave@gmail.com. So please check in if you never have, if you're a listener to the show. I'd love to hear where you hail from and just maybe a little paragraph about what kind of running you do and how you found out about the podcast, perhaps. I'm always kind of curious about that. I've been doing it since 2008 and met a lot of interesting people along the way. I heard from Dr. Smitty, and he is in his running group is called BURP, which is an acronym for the Big Ugly Running Posse. He's out of the Chesapeake, Virginia area. Met Greg many years ago, done several races together, and he is going to be doing his 5th Seashore 50K, which is a race down in the Chesapeake area. It's a trail race. It's excellent. It's done by the Tidewater Striders running group, which is excellent support in the race. I did it the inaugural year. I haven't been able to get back since. However, it's his fifth one, so he's going to get a buckle for doing that fifth one, which is awesome. And he's also got one of the people from his running group, Burp, is trying to get him to do the UROC 50K in May. That's the UROC is an acronym for Ultra Race of Champions, and that's held in the mountains near Charlottesville, Virginia. And that is put on by Francesca Conti and Gil. I think it's her husband. They do the Belmonte Endurance Series, which is I'm going to be doing on March 29th, and I think trails are similar. So anyway, Greg, hopefully if you do that, man, that'd be cool. I might come up there and watch you if I'm available in May. I love getting up in the mountains. We're just 2 hours from the mountains in the Central Virginia area, two hours from the mountains. And actually less than that, depending on where you're going, and then 2 hours to the beach. So it's a pretty good place to live if that's what you like to do. So, Dr. Smitty, appreciate you checking in. Always good to hear from you. Heard from Sandy. The big news with Sandy is that she's getting ready to finish her running project in her town, where she's run every road in her town in Rochester Hills, Michigan. And I think that's the right town. Yeah. Or is it Royal Oak? She worked in Royal Oak and lives in Rochester Hills. This is pretty cool. She's got a blog at Ultra. Let's see. I'll let you know what it is. It's ultrafreak.blogspot.com. I go on it from time to time and read her updates. Her latest one is November 24th, and she's going to be running the final leg of her project. And it's the ultrafreak.blogspot.com. So check that out if you haven't already. She's going to be running with the mayor of her town. So she's probably going to get a little media coverage, which would be really cool. So congratulations, Sandy. I know that's coming up in just a few days from now. So that's really great. Really cool. And you've inspired me to maybe try to do something like that for myself here. I don't know when I'm going to start this. I've mentioned this before. I don't know how many miles are in the town where I live. on all the streets, and I guess I can get a list of all the streets from probably the local town government. That way I don't, or I could look on a map, I guess, but I think it'd be best to get a list of everything so I can cross it out. And I think I could probably do that. I don't know how long it'll take, but I think it's a cool project, and be probably a pretty neat thing to talk about on the podcast, because I know you posted a lot of stuff on your blog about it. I think you found money, you found all kinds of stuff, and you've different police contacts you've had, and then you find like one of those little homemade library or something. I remember seeing one of your pictures, but we have one of those here in Ashland. It's pretty cool. Just like it's an honor library. Is that what it's called? Or miniature library, something like that. So it was good to hear from Sandy. I also heard from Ryan. Ryan's one of the original members of Team Incognito, which was my grassroots running group that got me into this crazy stuff. And he's since moved up to Calgary in Canada. And Ryan, I watched the Grey Cup last night, and I couldn't believe Toronto came back and beat Calgary. But that was pretty cool. I'm into Canadian football. I hope, can't wait for the season to start next year. But it was a really competitive game. But anyway, Ryan is really up to a whole lot here. He has done, let's see. This is some of the races he's done this summer. He did his first cycling time trial in July. He said running sees a lot of casual participants, mainly looking to finish, but cycling has no such equivalent. In August, he did his first outdoor triathlon, just a sprint distance, which was 750-meter swim, 20K bike, and a 5K run. He finished in the top 10%. Both the bike and the run legs. And then in September, he did a small 5K that his wife was volunteering at. He doesn't really do 5Ks that often. However, with his multi-sport training, he's gained some solid fitness. And when you know that he won the race with a time of 21 minutes, 54 seconds. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Ryan is over 40 years old, or maybe late 30s. Ryan, I can't remember how old you are. I know you've been married for a number of years. And I can't remember how old your son is now, but I guess maybe he's in school already. So he said it was his first victory. Total career winnings was a funny $25 gift card to Tim Hortons, which is a Canadian staple. It's kind of like a Dunkin' Donuts. It was a PR, easily beating his performance from 9 years ago, which was at a sprint 5K at a local school here in the Richmond area. So that is outstanding. 9 years later to beat your personal record, personal best in the 5K. I just think that's outstanding. Then he spent Thanksgiving down in Tampa. He did a 10K, and he's not really sure exactly what he's going to be doing in 2018. Probably a couple 10Ks and one half and some cycling races. And I would like to hear, Ryan, about the cycling people. There's got to be some middle or back of the pack cyclists that are like me that just want to finish, but you said there's really no equivalent to that. But there's gotta be some like people that are just like hack jobs that really don't look like they know what they're doing. So if you got time, send me an email if you've ever seen anything like that. There's gotta be a gamut of all kinds of people at some of those events, I would presume. So Ryan says, good luck with the training. Keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids, which is good advice. So thank you, Ryan. Cheers to you, too. And I will talk about your email reminded me to talk about the turkey trot that Ashland Tom put on. I'll talk about that after the email bag. I think I have just one more. Actually, two. Heard from Foolish Phil. Phil Min. He said, listen to the report from the Richmond Half. Enjoyed hearing all the live action. But Phil has been battling a foot injury most of the spring and the summer, and it made him cut back on events longer than the half marathon. He's getting really bad pain after 15 to 18 miles. And what he was doing was a lot of Dr. Google consulting, Dr. Facebook consulting of his for a diagnosis. I'm not sure why I said that word. He was doing a lot of online inquiries. And finally, he made a couple, finally found a podiatrist who was a runner. He made a couple of slight adjustments to his power step inserts, and he had immediate relief. He had to get his feet cast for custom orthotics. When they came in, he ran a marathon in them 2 days later with absolutely no pain. He's doing another one. And what he did learn was not to get his medical advice from social media. and he said he wanted to do the night train race next year. Well, the night train was during is the one that's in July. It's absolutely brutal. And Phil, I think it's awesome that you made your comeback. And I will say, I don't know if I said this in the last podcast or not, I know that you are a former band director. My daughter marched in the Veterans Day Parade in New York City, which she just had an outstanding time. All four county high schools, other marching bands combined to make a big band, and they marched. And I had to see them on the internet. I was watching the local TV station feed through the internet from up in New York. But it's great that that you're back. And sounds like you got two marathons, maybe in just a couple weeks. And I know you're in a maniac, because I remember seeing you at Hatfield McCoy. I think you did that some years ago. I was the one on crutches that time. So thanks for writing in, Phil. It's really good to hear from you. Really do appreciate it. Last but not least, heard from Shelly out of Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. Shelly's a firefighter up there. We exchange emails from time to time. I know that we've had a little bit of back and forth about the freedom of speech and the flag and supporting the country and these kinds of things. And I like sharing those opinions with people when you can do it in civil discourse, which is what we were able to do. We just shared opinions from each other, and I liked her perspective. But she mostly commented on the T-shirt cleaning episode, which was the race shirts. That was, I think, episode 250. If you're the first time listening, you might go back and listen to that. She absolutely loved it. She said she's tried to clean out her shirt several times, and she ends up like I did, too many shirts left over at the end. These are some of the quotes that she sent me that she thinks when she looks at her shirts. I like this race. I hate to throw this out. I ran this with so-and-so and had a great time, and I hate to throw that away. This is an awful shirt, but that race was memorable, and I'll keep this one to wear when I work outside. And I think I keep some of my shirts, Shelly, just to look at them again or just to know that they're there in case I ever need them again. But, yeah, I agree with you. There always seems to be a reason to keep them. And she asked me if I'd ever thought about making one of those quilts with race shirts, and she had one made, and she really likes it, and you get the you can look at them, enjoy the memory. And I think what I'm going to do, Shelly, I'll tell you what, I just saw an end of your email says, let me know if you're interested. I can send you photos of mine. Would you send me a photo of yours at ashlanddave@gmail.com? I think I might get that done, because I can hang that in my garage. And I have a big area in my garage where I kind of have all my race stuff. For example, at the Richmond Half, we got a commemorative aluminum tumbler kind of thing. And it's the kind of thing that I just like to have up on a shelf. And so I kind of collect stuff out there. I've gotten pint glasses from races over the years. And it might be a good place to hang that quilt. And I have seen them advertised in the back of the magazines. But if you would send me a picture of yours just to get an idea of the dimensions, if you know what the dimensions are, that'd be great. I appreciate that very much. And I appreciate you sending in the emails. It was nice to hear from you. Hadn't heard from you in a while. And I'm glad that you're still listening. Let me talk a little bit about the turkey trot that Ashland Tom put on. He's been doing this for several years. It's the unofficial, it's the official unofficial Ashland turkey trot. What this is, it's a race. It's a 10K and a 5K, but it's not really official, if you know what I mean. Tom will give us the route, and he'll keep track of, there's no marshals, for example. He'll keep track of your time when you come in. You get a finishing card, and then you give him your name. And then the main thing is for it to raise money for ACES, which is the Ashland Christian Emergency Services Group. This in years past, I think one year he raised over $500. This year was over $300. And you're talking really just, 30-plus people coming out for kind of a friendly group run that's a race. And I don't remember who won this year. I came in. I ran just over an hour. I think the course was actually a little short. But I had an interesting situation happen at the end where I thought I might come in at a better place, where I thought I was going to be able to I was clever, where I crossed over the railroad track so I wouldn't get caught by a train that I knew was coming. I knew that there were some people ahead of me that weren't local, or if they didn't seem to understand that they needed to get over because a train was coming, because the train tracks run right through the center of town here on double tracks. And would you know that, David Williams, who's Mechanicsville Dave, I don't think he listens to the podcast anymore. At least I get the impression that he doesn't. But I thought I might have been able to catch up to him because he got stuck by the train. And by then, I was thinking I would be able to get up to the turnaround point and catch up to him. But I did not. I was about 50 yards behind. But I was kind of clever, and I thought I was – I'm not sure really why I'm talking about this. But I thought I might have been clever because I was local and I know how the trains work. But it didn't really get me that far ahead. I was really also really impressed with the group of people that came out. How many people ran under 10-minute miles? I think I was third from the end in the 10K. And there was Shelly Klinger was out there, one of my longtime friends. And until I saw her behind me, I thought I was in last place. But then when I finished, I realized two people came in behind me. So, yeah, there was a chance that I could have come in last place there for the Ashland Turkey Trot, which would have been a first. Not that I've never come in last place in anything. I probably have, I'm sure. But that would have been quite a name to have on the log there for the Ashland Turkey Trot. So anyway, Tom does it every year, and we all appreciate that. He also takes food donations, and he got a significant amount of food to donate to ACES. What ACES does is that serves, it's kind of a, it's an emergency services group that serves immediate needs of people who are kind of stranded in dire straits. And they're always taking donations, and it's a well-run organization, and they do a good job filtering out people that are trying to scam them. And that's why we a lot of our people around here try to raise money for it. I know we do at church, and we're always taking donations and stuff. And some time back, I had made race videos and put them in a DVD format, and then had raised money for ACES that way by requesting listeners who wanted a DVD to make a $10 donation on the honor system. And you can scroll back through the episodes at ashlanddave.podbean.com. I think there's an actual episode where I list all the DVDs I've created of races that I've done or crewed. They're not just about me. They're also about other people that I've crewed in ultras and then made a movie out of it. Typically, the movies are between 30 and 40 minutes long. And then I put them on a DVD, and you can pop in your DVD or in your computer and actually watch it on a big screen. And but you can go to ashlanddave.podbean.com and scroll back if you're interested in that. I don't remember what episode I listed all the different movies I was I had made, but it's there. All right, well, that's the episode for this month or this week. I'll have another show out. We'll have two for December as we get into the Christmas season, Hanukkah season. I do appreciate you downloading the show and coming along if you're a returning listener. I appreciate your loyalty coming back week after week, show after show. Especially those that write in and kind of share the experience a little bit. And if you're a new listener, I hope you do come back and download the next show or go back in time and listen to previous shows that go way back. I think they're at ashlanddave.podbean.com going back past 2010, if I'm not mistaken. And over the years, I've had some people request every episode, which I've then burned a CD and mailed it to them, which is an interesting request, but I was always happy to accommodate. All right, so that's Ash. I'm Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running, don't forget to hug your kids, and y'all have a good week.